Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. Well, this morning, we watched the arraignment. Well, actually, there was no cameras in the courtroom, but we heard and we watched the defendants be corralled into the courtroom one by one. First court appearance, of course, the suspects in the killing of two Kansas moms were denied bond. The more we find out about this case, the more despicable it gets. And, you know, you wonder if you guys listening have never been in a courtroom sitting right next to or a few feet away from a murderer. There's a tenseness in the air, an emotion in the air. Whether you're a police officer, court officer, a civilian, an attorney, you feel the tenseness in the air. And apparently this was a very small courtroom, and it was filled with members of the victims' families. Can you just imagine this? Two vibrant moms, their lives snuffed out by these criminals, really. And again, you know, people say, oh, they're innocent to proven guilty. Yes. But, you know, so far, what we know, there is a tremendous amount of evidence. I want to just quickly show you how the defendants walked into court this morning, one by one, by the court officers, and they're in their zebra suits, as they should be. Let me put it up on the screen, and we'll watch this.
Did you do it?
Did you murder those women?
Do you have anything to say to the children whose mothers are murdered?
Why?
Anything to say? Didn't come in at all.
It looks like they had cleaned up Granny a little bit there, but it almost feels, and I remember that you overused this word after 9/11, surreal, like it doesn't feel like it's real, that these people, they're like from Mars or something, like where did they come up with this idea to murder these two women? Where, you know, over a child dispute, a custody dispute. Where did they come up with this idea? So horrific that there are people like this in the room. And as I said, if you've ever attended a courtroom and sat in and watched a trial or an arraignment, when there's people inside that courtroom, in this instance, four that are accused of a capital murder, a kidnapping, a conspiracy to commit murder. And we know this case. So many of us have been following this case from the beginning. And you could feel the tenseness in the air just as they're walking from those vehicles into the courtroom in those zebra suits, I call them, you know. And Cole Earl Twombly, oh my God, that smirk on his face. Someone needs to smack that thing right off his face. Even look at this. He's got that same smirk on his face. In his mugshot, you know, that I'm sure that smirk is going to be disappearing as jail turns to prison, you know, as he realizes he's not, that smirk isn't going to do him any good, you know. Look at Granny. Granny looked a lot better today walking in than she does in this mugshot picture. And I know people are saying, oh, you know, she didn't get a chance to put makeup on. I'm not talking about makeup. You know, we're talking about how she looks. Anyway, folks, we're going to give you an update today. So hold on to your seats. Hold on to your hats. You're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone, the police off-the-cuff zone.
There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped at 10th and Grant, Michael
Biden. We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
The four suspects arrested in connection to the killings of the two Kansas mothers were officially arraigned today in Oklahoma court, where a judge denied each of them bond. I don't think that's any secret. This is not New York City, where they'd probably be out already. Paternal grandmother, Tiffany Adams, 54 years old. Her boyfriend, Tad Cullum, 43. Cora Twombly, 44, and her husband, Cole Twombly, 50 years old, have each been charged with kidnapping and first-degree murder of Veronica Butler, 27, and Jillian Kelly, who's 39. As we know, Butler and Kelly vanished on March 30th while en route to pick up Butler's children for a supervised visit. The victims' families attended the arraignment, filling the first three rows of the courtroom. Family members heckled the suspects, shouting expletives at them. There were some interviews with family members after, very emotional. You can just imagine, as I said, being in this courtroom what these people are accused of doing, what these four individuals that you see on the screen right now, what they're accused of doing, it's unfathomable that they could be accused. Well, not that they could be accused, that they could have done this. And if you watched our show last night, myself, Mike Geary, and FBI agent Bobby Chacon, what a superstar panel. And I'm not even including myself. Mike Geary, professor, retired NYPD sergeant, lawyer, Bobby Chacon, FBI agent, attorney. He was in charge of the FBI scuba team. He did dives to recover bodies and all of that stuff. He's been all over the world, Iraq, Iran. And people said, some troll said, with three washed-up cops. I love that. I made a little flyer for that and put out an episode. But I find sometimes that's amusing. Three people that have the best credentials on YouTube, and someone's saying, with three washed-up cops. I take it with a grain of salt, and I find it funny. I want to put Brian Enten on. I think News Nation, and sometimes we've been critical of them, but I think News Nation, throughout this investigation, throughout the 14 days where nothing much was said, I think News Nation did an outstanding job. And if you ever watch Brian Enten, I think you have to like him. He's almost impossible not to like. He's a very likable guy. He does his job, but yet he's human. He's a human being, and he's not too pushy. I want to play him right now a little bit, as he talks about the arraignment, the family. You know, that's always the story for me and for a lot of you guys, is the human element to this. The people that are suffering from this, the people that are affected by this. And too many times, news media just gives a little footnote to that and really doesn't get into it. But I think News Nation does a good job on this story in reporting this and the emotion behind it.
Our cameras or phones inside the courthouse. I want you to look at this video. You can see all of the suspects being brought out of the courthouse and put into police cars one by one and taken back to the jail. Bond was denied for all four suspects. And they all but one said that they had the money to afford a private attorney, but none of them had found an attorney at this point. It was very, very emotional, Marnie. I don't think I've ever been in a court hearing quite like it, because it was a very, very small courtroom, and you had the victims' family members take up three of the rows of the courtroom, and some of them actually had to be physically held back during the hearing. They were sobbing and trying to lunge at the suspects as they were brought in, and other family members had to hold them back. And then they were actually saying things to the suspects during the hearing. They weren't actually shouting, but I mean, you could hear exactly what they were saying. They called Grandma Tiffany Adams, who of course is believed to be the orchestrator of these murders. They called her an effing bee. They called the other man a bastard, and a lot of expletives, a sorry ass piece of S word, which was just interesting to hear in a courtroom as the defendants were brought in. Obviously, they're very, very emotional about what happened. I would say about maybe two dozen family members inside the courtroom as the hearing went on. But again, the headline here, bond denied, and they will be back in court sometime next month, Marnie.
You talk about an emotionally charged situation. I feel for those families to be in that courtroom, see these people for the first time. Again, just drawing folks' attention to the screen. This is the first time we are seeing these four suspects publicly as they walk into court. Brian, how did the judge handle that interaction between the suspects and these family members?
Let me just quickly, Marnie, because court just ended, and this is... I'm sorry. Do you mind if we talk to you real quick, ma'am? You're Veronica's aunt, right?
I'm sorry.
Are you Veronica's aunt?
I am.
That's one of the victims. I'm so sorry. I was just telling Marnie, our anchor. First of all, I'm so sorry for everything you've been through. And just that courtroom was so small. I can't imagine. You guys were just so close to them. I mean, what was that like?
You know, to hold my brother back from jumping, you know, there's just too many emotions, so much anger. I don't understand how somebody can hate somebody so much that you want to kill them. My niece did not deserve that. Neither did the young lady with her. She was just there to help her. We didn't deserve this. Our family didn't deserve this.
Yeah, and they were just emotionless, the defendants, when they were brought in. I mean, yeah. Did you know them before this?
No, we don't know them personally. No.
It's okay.
We're good. Yeah, thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you. Yeah, as you can see, Marnie, I mean, again, I've never really experienced anything quite like it, because it was such a small courtroom, and you had family members having to hold back other family members trying to actually go after the suspects, which, in light of everything they're going through and having to be so close to these people accused of such heinous crimes, you know, you can't really blame them. You can kind of understand just how raw the emotion was.
I think each and every one of us sympathizes with what they're going through and the nightmare that they're living. Brian, what's next now that this hearing has taken place? What's the next step in the court case?
So there will be a hearing on May 15th. That is when they will have a status hearing, and several of the suspects will appear with their new lawyers that they will be hiring. And remember, many of these suspects, Tad and Grandma Tiffany in particular, these are wealthy people from what we can tell. They own a lot of land. They have a lot of influence in this community. They have a lot of business connections. So we would presume they're going to get, you know, high dollar defense attorneys to represent them, because, you know, they clearly have the resources.
I'm wondering, Brian, as in a lot of these hearings, it's early on, right? Bond is set, not guilty pleas are usually entered. Any evidence provided? Is there anything new we learned about the evidence prosecutors had that led to their arrest today?
Not really in particular. What happened is they brought each suspect in one by one. So they kind of went through the same process four times and read the charges. There weren't any new details that we didn't already know from the police reports. But the main point was just to read them their charges, to see if they were going to hire a private attorney. And really, again, what I walk away just thinking about is just seeing all those family members. And that was just really quite a moment, just the raw emotion.
Thank you for watching.
That is a crazy thing, the raw emotion when you see the family members there and that they had to sit in the same courtroom as these defendants, as they saw these people get arraigned and enter what I would assume was a not guilty plea. And it's the first I'm hearing that Grandma and Bert Cullum are affluent people. I didn't know. I don't know where Brian Enton's getting that they own land or whatever, which would mean that, of course, you would have to hire a private attorney. You're not going to get a court-appointed attorney if you have the means to pay for it. You know, some of the things that we still don't know, and I see some of you guys in the chat saying, we don't know the cause of death, right? The manner of death, of course, is homicide, murder, right? Intend death, cause death, all right? Death caused by another, homicide is the definition. But we don't know specifically now what was the cause of death. Was Jillian Kelly shot? Was Veronica Butler killed through blunt trauma? It might seem that she may have sustained blunt trauma because by her glasses in the road was found a hammer. And they didn't go into a great detail as to what was on that hammer. They also reported that Jillian Kelly had a magazine, a magazine for a pistol in her purse, but the gun that she supposedly always carried was nowhere to be found. So the evidence that they had on the scene, the physical evidence, the forensic evidence, we still don't know about that. And the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, as I said a million times, they did a fantastic job keeping their lips sealed and not letting the press or anyone else get information that could have potentially hurt this case. Pessa from the chat. I missed Pessa. Here we go. Pessa. Jillian carried a gun with her. Only the magazine was found in her purse. Yes, Pessa, I said that exactly. So, which means, A, they may have shot her first before she had a chance to reach for it, and then they took the gun. And so they did recover a magazine in her purse. JPL, Jay the Stelladoro, Bill, these people are a gang of misfits. Perfect name for them. Yes, God's misfits. And, you know, we don't know if any that has to do anything with this whole plot to kill these two women. What it appears to be, of course, is a domestic dispute. Well, not domestic, a child custody dispute between the grandmother and between Veronica Butler. And when we think about that, that this was a custody dispute, does anyone deserve to be murdered over? I mean, how could you love children and love the children of this woman if you could so easily take the life of the mom of these children that you supposedly love? Very difficult to understand. Many of you guys in the chat also mentioned the judge who was interviewed by Brian Enton last night. And I have a little bit of that we could play. And apparently this judge, who claimed to be tight friends with Tad Bert Cullum, one of the perpetrators, and Grandma's boyfriend, he was just talking about what a wonderful guy he is and how he's in business with him. And apparently he's in business with Tad Bert Cullum. This is Grandma's boyfriend. And this judge, who was interviewed by Brian Enton, first of all, the guy is missing several brain cells. If he goes, and he apparently, let me back up a second. He was at Tad Bert Cullum. He was at his house when the police did the arrest warrant. He was there. Not a good look, Judge. Not a good look at all. You're hanging out with a guy who's accused of a capital murder, a kidnapping and conspiracy to commit murder, and you're going on national television telling everybody what a wonderful guy he is. Well, apparently the mayor told him, I will have your resignation. I want you to resign. And apparently he did just that. He resigned. I mean, you would think someone that's a judge would be a little smarter than that, you know, but apparently he's not, because I'm going to play his interview with Brian Enten, and you can judge for yourself, what this judge was thinking.
Group, the God's Misfits, the religious cult group. I asked the judge about it. I listened to what he told me, Ashley.
When's the last time you saw Tad?
I was there when they raided it.
You were there.
Tad and I have been working together the last month in a business, and I was down there when it was raided.
What was that like?
Being with a military past in Vietnam, it brought back some really bad memories. Looking down the barrel of those rifles, it was very hard for me. It brought back a lot of memories, a lot of bad things.
Did you ever get a bad vibe from Tad?
No. Tad was one of the nicest, funniest. I seen him almost on a daily basis this last month. We were working together. I couldn't even believe he was involved in it.
What about Tiffany?
I didn't see her a lot. I've known her for years. Always thought she was just a little bit out in left field. But again, just never believed that they would do this kind of thing.
According to the affidavit, they were involved in this group, God's Misfits.
Yes.
What do you know about that?
Never even heard of it until this come up. Knew zero, nothing about it.
And what have you learned?
To me, and what I've heard, and I can't say this for fact, what I've heard, it's kind of like a cult. They a lot of cults use God as their background to justify what they're doing. To me, that's what it sounds like.
Are they anti-government?
Very, very anti-government.
Okay, so in a very strange twist, Ashley, I just was notified that judge was forced to resign after doing that interview with me this afternoon. The mayor, he was appointed by the mayor, and the mayor basically said, I'm not happy you did the interview and talked about any of this, and said, you know, we want your resignation. And he had to submit a letter of resignation. Keep in mind, he didn't talk at all about, you know, anything in a professional sense. He's just a municipal judge. He has nothing to do with the case at all. Just goes back to like why people are not wanting to talk around here, how powerful these suspects are. And now this judge is out of a job just for telling us that story this afternoon.
And again, that story has absolutely nothing to do with the murder or the evidence or anything. Just the experience of what the arrest was. It's astounding. And I'm sorry, Brian, you're getting pelted with rain. I can't let you go, though. Did this judge know anything about Paul Grice, that fifth man that we are mystified about? Does he know him? Does he know why he wasn't arrested? Any info?
No, he knew absolutely nothing about him, which is interesting because he knows pretty much everybody in town. Everybody we've asked for the most part doesn't know much about him. I mean, you touched on it earlier, though. He was also, according to authorities, part of God's Misfits, the group. He was apparently involved in this plot to kill Veronica back earlier this year. So we know that from the affidavit, but we're not really having an easy time getting other information on him and why he wasn't arrested. You know, is he perhaps now cooperating with the investigation? We haven't been able to nail that down at this point.
Thank you for watching.
So I think that Ashley Banfield is not correct in her assessment here. What does this have to do with the judge? It has everything to do with it. Even if he's not a judge in this county, use your common sense, dude. You know, you're going to go vouch for someone that he's your best friend after he's being charged with capital murder, after the probable cause affidavits have been released to the world, showing what each one of these defendants has done during this case, and you're going to go on national television and talk about how Tad is your buddy and you're in business with him? Dude, you're a judge. What kind of judgment is that? It's horrific judgment. It's not, it doesn't pass the smell test, as you say. From the chat, Optimistic Maya, I feel so bad for the 16-year-old. Imagine having to clean up a crime scene. It's not like they asked her to tidy her room. I mean, there are so many children in this case who will be living with trauma. You know, Optimistic Maya, that girl, the 16-year-old, is the daughter of Cole Earl Twombly and Cora Twombly. And someone said, oh, she's Cole is not her father, not her biological father, but he's still her stepfather. Anyway, people want to, just get into the nitty gritty with that. That's not that important. She is their daughter, and she's an eyeball witness. She is one of the most important witnesses on this case because she gives the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation some tremendously solid information. Human source information is so important. And other things that we don't know is how many of these defendants perhaps made a statement. There was some information on YouTube, which I can't, you can totally not verify whatsoever, that grandma, who you see on the screen right there, grandma Tiffany Michelle Adams may have been the shooter in this case. But again, there's no confirmation from law enforcement. So we can't go with that, right? Some of the statements, of course, that Cora Twombly made, who you see up on the screen right there, who's the mother of the 16-year-old, who's a witness, who gave the police outstanding information in this case. She made some statement to her daughter. And her daughter asked, well, what happened? And she said, well, you're not going to see Veronica anymore. She's been taken care of. In those type of words, I don't know if I have the statement verbatim. And then she said, how about Jillian Kelly? Oh, we had to take care of her too because she was too close to Veronica. What that says, guys, is she's acting in concert. She's one of the conspirators here. So the three main charges here, of course, is murder first degree, kidnapping first degree, and conspiracy to commit murder. So all of those charges, it's a tough thing to beat, obviously, because it shows they have evidence going back and showing actually back to February when they were going to try to do this again. And they mentioned a defendant named Paul Grice, who's mentioned in the probable cause affidavit, but we don't know why he wasn't arrested. Why was he not arrested? And that's a question that we don't have the answer to right now. Mac Carr, Cora has a public defender. Yvonne Cross, they should check and see if they ever received any money from the government. Carly, good point, Carly. Judge hanging out with anti-government people. But this judge knows nothing. He seems like, you know, just a small town judge, and he knows nothing, you know. Phyllis Druin, yes, they are innocent to proven guilty. That is our system. What we're here to show is the evidence that the state has against them. We're not saying they're guilty. They're being charged, right? And today was their arraignment, right? D. Phillips, what's the son, father saying? Wrangler, D. Phillips, so far nothing. He's in drug rehab. But apparently Wrangler was the person that was supposed to get custody of the two children, the daughter 6 and the son 8. not the grandmother, but the grandmother had a antagonistic relationship toward her son also. So she had threatened, and Tad, her boyfriend, here you see there, Tad had threatened to kill the boyfriend. So they didn't, you know, I always say there's that little box on your report card when you're in third grade that is the most important thing, the most important grade you'll ever get throughout life. And that is the check mark or the plus you get, which means you're passing grade, with gets along well with others, right? And perhaps Granny does not get along well with others, and she's threatening everybody, and she uses her power, whatever she has, because look, many people in this county were very reluctant to talk out against these people. They were afraid of these people. Optimistic Maya from the chat, I'm wondering if Tad, Grandma's boyfriend, might be the one to flip. He's the only one who looked a little remorseful at court today. I think Grandma must have talked him into it. You know something? It could be any of them flipped, but from what we learned about the human source, when we talk about a human source of evidence being the daughter, Cora's daughter, who told the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation what they said when they came home. She also told them that they had the burner phones charging on their dresser, on their night table. You think that's pretty damn good evidence? Yeah, we talk about circumstantial evidence, but Granny bought, I don't know, the number of burner phones that they use, 5 burner phones, and they had 2 of them, and they brought the burner phones with them. And guess what was at the location of the car and at the location where the bodies were found were the signals from the burner phones. So many people during this investigation said, oh, because this is rural, the phones won't come into play. Guess what? The phones did come into play big time. And we talk about geofencing. And that's the ability that the FBI has to electronically pull up all digital devices in a geographic area in a specific time. And that is a killer, evidence-wise, for a lot of these people, even if they're using burner phones. Granny made some other mistakes, searches on her computer, buying stun guns. How do you lure a person out of their house? I mean, this is gold. Circumstantial? Yes, circumstantial gold, though, you know, and this is the type of evidence that when we talk about circumstantial evidence, and attorneys would all say, oh, it's circumstantial. And attorneys know damn well that circumstantial evidence is extremely strong and powerful evidence.
Anything to say to Jillian and Veronica's families? Do you have any remorse?
The 4 people accused of murdering 2 Southwest Kansas mothers go to court. Thank you for joining us at noon. I'm Jason Lamb. Tiffany Adams, Tad Cullum, Cole Twombly, and Cora Twombly are each charged with first-degree murder, kidnapping, and conspiracy for the deaths of Jillian Kelly and Veronica Butler. The Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation confirmed yesterday the Hugoton mothers' bodies were found Sunday. KSN's Julia Thatcher, the only Wichita reporter in the courtroom in the Oklahoma Panhandle this morning. Julia, tell us what happened during the first appearances.
Jason, grief, tears, even confusion filled the courtroom today. I watched family members of Jillian and Veronica come inside, hug each other, hug deputies, and weep inside of the courtroom. The father of Veronica physically had to be restrained as each of the suspects walked through the door. I even heard the bailiff whisper to him, please, to get him to try to sit down and calm down. He wasn't loud, but it just gives you an indication of the emotion that was being felt inside of that courtroom. And we couldn't have our cameras rolling inside of the courtroom. All 4 suspects are being held without bond, citing proof of evidence or presumption of guilt is great. Their attorneys will have a chance to challenge that.
Cole, Tad, Tiffany all said that they can hire their own attorney. Cora is the only one who said she cannot afford to hire an attorney, and that means that the state will provide one for her. We talked to family for the first time today. Veronica's aunt said she is confused as to how this happened.
How can you hate the mother of your grandchildren so much that you want to end her life?
The next court appearance is happening on May 15th. I also asked the DA if the death penalty is being considered. He said that will be decided at a later date and time. And of course, we'll stay on top of that for you. Also, as people were walking in, the security was extremely tight. I watched one attorney be told that she had to take off her jacket. The deputies eventually let her put it back on and wear it inside because she is an attorney. We couldn't have cell phones. We couldn't have any electronics. That includes Apple Watches, smartwatches, anything like that. We had to leave inside. I saw a drone flying overhead. I was told that that wasn't recording. That was for safety purposes, and law enforcement on top of the roof. Coming up tonight on KSN News at 4, I'm going to explain why the sheriff said they needed to have this tight security presence. Here for you, Julia Thatcher, KSN News 3.
It's not that tough to figure out why they needed this level of security. Small town, small courtroom, family members in the courtroom. Family members wanted a piece of these four defendants, you know. And then when we hear about the God's misfits, this anti-government group, and that we hear that that Grandma Tiffany Michelle Adams and Tad Burt Cullum and Curl Earl Twombly and Cora Twombly, they're sovereign citizens. That means they don't believe that they have to pay attention to our laws. They're sovereign. They're free, except when they get in trouble and they need a government lawyer, you know. So it's, this case is so disturbing. And when we go over some of the, you know, of the reasons why, custody battle, Tiffany Adams with Veronica Butler, the baby's mama, of her grandchildren, of Tiffany's grandchildren, the father, Wrangler Rickman, who happens to be Tiffany Adams' son. So, like, this is, you can't make this stuff up. Veronica Butler was supposed to have visitation with her children every Saturday. Kelly, Jillian Kelly, was supposed to supervise. And this is where it gets dicey also. There was a woman named Cheryl Brune who was the custody supervisor, but she apparently was unavailable. But that wasn't true. That was what was first reported. She was told by Tiffany Adams to take a few weeks off. Now, is that potentially evidence of premeditation? She didn't want to kill Cheryl Brune. Maybe she became friendly with her. Maybe they were friendly. Could that put Cheryl Brune into this investigation as a potential suspect, that she wasn't the one to do the job of supervision because maybe she was told this is going to happen? Well, the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation certainly has to look into that, because could she be down with it? We don't know, right? It's just crazy. Phyllis Druin from the chat, if they were in New York City and illegals, they would be released without bail. Perhaps even the charges would be dropped. Sucks to be American in the eyes of our judicial system. Phyllis, I don't think, you know, I sarcastically said that, but I don't think a case like this, with charges of murder in the first degree, kidnapping in the first degree, that any defendants would be bailed or released. I just would find that very difficult to believe. Stephanie, Michelle, true crime. This case is so heartbreaking. Make it make sense. It'll never ever make sense to take a person's life. Not ever. You know, Stephanie, that's so true. And when we look at this case, you break it down to its common denominator, lowest common denominator, that this was a custody dispute. It was a custody dispute. And grandma of these two children, a six-year-old girl and an eight-year-old boy, who were her sons, her son was the father, and Veronica, the baby's mom, and Tiffany hated her so much that she conspired with three others to kill her over this custody dispute. That makes almost no sense. But you know something? Don't try to make sense out of murder. Don't even, you know, we look at the Idaho 4, Brian Koberger, again, innocent to proven guilty. Does that make any sense that this PhD student went into a house where these students lived and murdered four students with a knife? Does that make any sense? So we can't look at it and look for sense. We're not finding sense in it. Folks, this is Police Off the Cuff, real crime stories. If you like real crime, true crime, from a police perspective, then you're in the right place. And if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Give us a thumbs up. Hit that like button. Share us with your friends and your family. And also, if you want to contribute to us financially, we have a Patreon with three different levels. And we also have a YouTube channel membership with count 'em, five different levels. And we appreciate all our friends, our family, and our subscribers who make this channel go the way it does. Moose Girl 08, why some people treat kids like possessions. I will never understand that. It's not in the best interest of the children to have all this drama in their lives. Moose Girl, you're 100% correct. I will never understand that either. Daniel K, it sounds like they tortured the victims. I don't know, Danielle, if there's any evidence of that. I don't know. We still don't know the cause of death. We know the manner of the death is murder, homicide. We don't know specifically the cause of death. Phoebe from the chat, excuse TA gave to Cheryl Broom was that Tiffany Adams needed more time to ask the quiz the kids about supervisors. Yeah, I mean, we'll find that out down the road, but we're not going to find it out right now. Nancy H., the family court judge needs to be held accountable if the grandma has made threats towards Veronica in court. Yeah, I mean, this case, from the perspective of a family court case, it looks pretty ugly. Watson's puzzle. Tiffany is the one who picked her own supervisor and paid her. Jillian was picked by Veronica. Yes, and that's why I believe Tiffany wanted Cheryl Broom to take off for a few weeks so they could do this dirty deed that they had planned. And so she said, take off for a few weeks, you know. Rosemary Gallagher from the chat, they're not looking at the best interest of the child. No, obviously there's many children left without mothers in this case. Lori Stout, so CPS is involved. Well, family court was involved. Yeah, I would imagine CPS was involved also. You know, guys, I really think, yeah, Amy Barath, that's a good point. This is the Adelsons, the case we know of from Florida, where a dental family, they were had a big dental practice in Miami, and the one son was a periodontist, and he hired people to kill his sister's husband. Oh, another custody battle. So that doesn't make any sense either. But as I said, we're not. Pessa, yes, grandma is like Wendy Adelson. Wendy Adelson was the wife of the victim in the murder. It was her husband who was murdered over a custody battle. And her mother, who was the grandmother, is facing trial very shortly. So, yes, does history repeat itself here? Grandmother was being paid by the state. To take custody of the children. I don't know those details. Marcus Todd from the chat. It's strange to me that the court would have picked abandoned gas station for children to be exchanged. Marcus Todd, you know something? That really wasn't smart, especially if someone is threatened. The best place you can do an exchange of children is at a police facility. And the police will do that for you. Could we do the exchange of the children in front of the desk, in front of the desk officer? So two reasons for that is you get the protection of being in a police station. And part two to that is that the desk officer can make a command log entry that you're there and what time you got there and what time the other person delivered the children. And then you can, there's no chance of an altercation. Or if there is an altercation, the police are right there. Optimistic Maya, I don't understand the psychology of these murderous grandmas. Yeah, why are so they so desperate for the grandkids? Do they think they failed at parenting first time around and want a second chance at parenting? Optimistic Maya, I wish I could answer that question. I don't know the answer. Maui Swift, first of all, Maui, so good to see you. The Wagner family that also killed the mother and other family members over custody. Yeah, this is not an unusual reason for a murder, a custody battle. And you can imagine the emotion involved in the custody of children. Watson's puzzle. Veronica was trying to change the location to something more public, but she hadn't had her hearing yet. Her hearing was supposed to be today. Obviously, she didn't make it to that. Rosemary Gallagher, exactly. Children are not possessions, and the sooner some parents understand that, the better. The courts are filled with evil parents seeking custody, mostly to hurt the other parent. Yeah, it's disgraceful. Pessa, how did they think they were going to get away with it? We'll find that out as this case moves forward. This is News Nation. I'd like to play this right now.
We start with a story that News Nation has been on the ground covering exclusively since the very beginning. The four suspects accused of murdering two Kansas mothers will appear in court for the very first time this morning. Now, this comes as the judge who spoke to News Nation about their deaths is being asked to resign. Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly disappeared last month along a road while on the way to pick up Butler's children for a supervised visit. Investigators say Butler was in a custody battle with her children's grandmother, Tiffany Adams, who's now one of those four suspects charged. Stephanie Haynes joins us now live. So, Stephanie, so many twists and turns in all of this. What are we expecting in court today?
Hey, Kelly, good morning. Court records show that all four suspects will go before a judge today at 9:30. And sadly, Kelly, these court records also show us that today was the day Veronica Butler was supposed to go to court and get expanded visitation rights to see her children from Tiffany Adams, who is the custodial grandmother of those children. And so now it is really coming clear that investigators believe that this custody battle plays a strong motive in this entire tragedy. So Tiffany Adams, the grandmother of those children, her boyfriend Tad Cullum, and Cole and Cora Twombly are all charged with first-degree murder, kidnapping, conspiracy to commit murder of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. Footage shows police on Tuesday towing away this white trailer from a property Cullum allegedly had ties to, and witnesses say that they saw that same trailer in the area where the women disappeared. Court records show the 16-year-old daughter of the Twombleys revealed that all four suspects were part of this anti-government group called God's Misfits. The group reportedly met at the Twombly home weekly, authorities saying a fifth person attended those meetings but has not been arrested. And not much else is known about this group or its origin. And so News Nation has been on the ground talking to people in town, talking to people who knew the suspects. Even this local judge who had no idea about the group and was there when authorities raided the home of Tad Cullum, he spoke with News Nation's Brian Enten and then was asked to resign after that interview.
It's such a tragedy close to home. You hear about these things on the news, you see all this stuff, but when you're this close to the fire, it's a whole different story.
Cora Twombly allegedly told her daughter that they were going on a mission the morning Butler and Kelly went missing. That's according to the records. And this wasn't the first time that there was this alleged attempt to go after Butler. There was a stakeout of Butler in Hugoton, Kansas, back in February. The bodies of the two mothers were discovered about 8.5 miles away from where their car was found abandoned. They were found on a private property in a hole with hay. And that property, investigators say, Tad Cullum was renting for cattle grazing. Meantime, the father of these two children in this case was in rehab at the time of the disappearance. And authorities say that those children have been found safe. Kelly.
Wow, that's the good news. A lot to untangle in this story. Excellent reporting, Stephanie. Thank you.
Spoken about Nancy Liu. Nancy H., it really irritates me that Nancy Liu, who has covered this from the beginning, for News Nation gets pulled off it and Brian Anton comes in when the suspects are arrested. Discrimination. I don't know the reason for that, but I will say that Nancy Liu did an outstanding job of investigation during this. Genealogy Gypsy, I got to say, I can't stand mainstream news, but I do like News Nation. Well, good for you. True Crime Snoopy, those poor women and grandkids. They need to, Debbie McCarthy, they need to come up with safer options for kids because clearly CPS is not working. It's a problem in every state. I want to thank Maui Swift, who just gifted 5 police off-the-cuff memberships to the Chosen 5. I don't know who they are right now, but thank you, Maui Swift. Thank you so much. It's very much appreciated. As we build up our fan base here, and one of the things I've always liked Maui is, like, we try to give it to you truthfully, and we try not to be sensational. We try to tell you about the investigation and what the investigators are doing and explain it to you. And as I said last night, we had 2 of the best guys I have on the show. Mike Geary, who's a professor, attorney, retired NYPD sergeant, and Bobby Chacon, who I call, he's the one of the premier talking heads on television. He's always on television, and he's a retired FBI agent, attorney. He's got a law degree from Hofstra University on Long Island. A retired FBI agent, and he used to write for Criminal Minds. He's a TV writer right now. So very well-versed, very talented, same as Mike Geary, talented guys. And those are the people I try to bring to you to bring these stories to the forefront. Karen Kennedy, hint, this is not about the kids. If this grandma really cared about the well-being of the kids, this would not happen. Adopt those kids out, put in good foster care. Well, Karen, you know what's probably going to happen. Is they'll go to a family member, which is usually in the best interests of the kids, if they can find, in this situation, a suitable family member, because the kids are always better off, well, not always, but most of the time, going with a family member. Optimistic Maya. Nancy H., I think Nancy Liu is a great reporter. She should get a lot of credit for this reporting in this case. She got the arrest footage live and was boots on the ground from day one, like you say. Absolutely. Rachella Pranzo, good, so good to see you. Seems like decisions to take children away from mothers is not working out. They'd be better off with natural mom. Rachella, I think you, in this case, you're 100% correct. Who knows what happened? Grandma here, Grandma Tiffany, apparently had some political power in this county. Could that have swayed the people that making the decisions? Phyllis Druin from the chat, true crime, stupid, not in my state unless the mother agrees due to coming into drug rehab. Nancy H., I'm sure the judge is a God's misfit too. He was at Tad's place when it was raided. Crazy. You know, Nancy H., that bothers me a great deal, you know. And we've all seen the footage of this judge being interviewed by Brian Enten. And the fact that he was at Tad's home when it was raided by the police. I don't like that, you know? I don't like that he's friends with Tad. I don't like that he's in business with Tad. I don't like that he thinks Tad's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And Tad is now being charged with murder in the first degree. And Tad has other crimes on his dossier, threatening the son to kill him. And that's documented in family court records. And yet this judge thinks Tad is a great guy, you know? Roro, this is so disturbing. Thank you, police off the cuff. Well, Roro, thank you, and thank you for stopping by. I hope it's the first time I've seen you. I hope you subscribe to our channel. Tina Wright, they need love and guidance. Phoebe, the father still has legal custody. Phoebe, but tough to have legal custody when you're in drug rehab. How can he possibly be any good to the children right now? And the children need him when he's in drug rehab. How is that possible? You know, I don't think it is. So all of these things are issues that Nora, sometimes News Nation reminds me of Nancy Grace's Court TV. News Nation is better than Court TV. Great coverage. Go to local TV stations and news media. Boots on the ground. You know, guys, Maui Swift, if parents are not on drugs or abusive, children belong with the parents. Maui, I agree with you. I think they belong with the parents or with family, blood relatives of the parents. Joan Smith, that judge looked like a drunk involved being with them. Wine arrested. He seemed unprofessional. Well, Sharon Reynolds from the chat. That's two judges where three victims have lost their lives at the hands of judge's choice. This case, an Adam Montgomery case too. Why not meet at a local sheriff's office? Why do so many women lose their lives? Sharon, you know, these domestic and these family court cases are the most volatile and they're the most contentious in dealing with families, dealing with the custody of children. Genealogy Gypsy from the chat. I had a person a long time ago that wanted to harm my son's grandma because something she did to me. Absolutely not. That's my son's grandmother. No way. I love my son. That would hurt him. Thank you for volunteering that, Genealogy Gypsy. Pessa, judges hanging out with anti-government people worries about me. Yeah, I'm a little worried about that too, that a judge is hanging out with anti-government people. I don't think that's a great look either. You know, I think it's sort of bad. Coco 5 News, I want to play a little clip from the local news here.
More than 2 weeks ago, KOCO Shelby Montgomery is live in studio this morning with the latest on this case.
Good morning. So in just a few hours, all four suspects will be in the courtroom for the first hearing. That starts at 9:30. Since the arrest on Saturday, the case has quickly developed. Sunday, two bodies were found a few miles away from the crime scene. And Tuesday, OSBI confirmed they were the bodies of Butler and Kelly. We've been digging into court documents all week that show the murders may have been planned. They show Butler was in a custody battle with the prime suspect, Tiffany Adams, who is also the children's grandmother.
Whether the sole motivation was the custody battle or not, I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, somebody's gone forever. And that decision is permanent. You can't take that back.
And we're also learning investigators say this is not the first time the foursome tried to kill Veronica Butler. A witness says they tried to kill her in February with a plan to throw an anvil through her windshield while driving. Now today, those four suspects again set to appear before a judge. KOCO's Megan Mosley will be inside the courtroom during the hearing. Again, 9:30 this morning. You can get the latest right here on KOCO 5 News online or our website, KOCO.com.
That was a report of a local news station. We know, the arraignments, I believe they all pled not guilty. Some of them, I believe Tiffany and Tad have the financial means to afford their own attorney. And perhaps Cole Twombly also does. But Cora Twombly asked to get legal aid attorney assigned to her. So these sovereign citizens, when they need help, when they come up against the government, now they want an attorney to represent them at our taxpayer expense. Yesterday, they did confirm specifically that the bodies that they did recover, and I just wanted to mention this, they were identified as Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. And it was reported, we sort of all felt that that was going to be the result once they did the DNA test, the dental records. But it was confirmed yesterday. And yes, on the screen, we have Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly, and may they rest in peace. This is a little snapshot of yesterday when it was breaking news Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation. Bodies found in rural Texas County identified as missing Texas moms. This case, you know, from the very beginning, so tragic because you knew right away that this was not going to be a happy ending. Folks, if you're looking for a great attorney in the New York metropolitan area, then Joe Murray is your man. Joe's a retired NYPD police officer and a fantastic defense attorney. You can reach Joe on his cell at 718-514-3855. Email him at joe@jmurray-law.com or go on his website, jmurray-law.com. Not only is Joe a fantastic defense attorney, but a huge supporter of the Police Off the Cuff podcast. We appreciate everything that Joe has done for us over the approximately 4+ years that this podcast has been on the air. Someone's asking a question about Well, Lorianne, I answer you. These murders were very pre-planned. Yes, they have all kinds of evidence of that. The grandmother buying burner phones, the grandmother buying guns, the grandmother making, and I'm talking about Tiffany Adams, searches on her computer about stun guns and how they work and how do you lure someone out of their house, searches like that on her computer, which of course, as we learned on this show, it's circumstantial evidence, but it's powerful circumstantial evidence. Stephanie Blah Bitty Blah, I like that name. I don't think a sovereign citizen should qualify for public defender. Stephanie Blah Bitty Blah, you know something? Well, you're probably preaching to the choir here, but they have to have representation. And if they don't have the money, guess who has to pay for it? Yep. Look at yourself in the mirror, you and me, right? Lori Stout, Cole had a son die of suspicious circumstances a few years ago on his property. Well, all of these things will come out once the bigger investigation as time moves on. Lori Ann, she reportedly moved out of state and they made her bring them back. They had shared custody. All right. Are you talking about Veronica? Debbie McCarthy, it scares me to think what might have been done to them. Okay, Miss Girl, do sovereign citizens pay taxes? Left out. Yeah, of course they do. Heather, got to run to a meeting. Thank you, Bill. You all have a good day. Heather, you also have a great day. Nora, News Nation edited end bit of Elkhart, Kansas judge interview. He tells Brian he's a Vietnam vet and Tad Burt Cullum's arrest triggered his PTSD. I believe Judge truly shaking. He was walking when Brian E. called out. You know, Nora, I think that the judge's decision-making, the judge's, let's use the term that's redundant, the judge's judgment is not very good, you know, for A, and having friends like Tad, and B, and going on a national TV show and talking about being friends with a guy who's just been indicted for a murder first degree. Poor judgment, very poor judgment. Yvonne Cross, I'm sorry if he truly didn't know his friend was like this. He's a victim as well. Really never know someone. I'm saying this for a reason. Yvonne, he's a judge though, you know, and when you have a position like that, okay, say he was friends with him. Shouldn't he have shut his mouth and not gone on national television and shouted it out to the world? I'm friends with him. Poor judgment. Very poor judgment, you know. Penny Gregory, the judge that spoke with the media, was told to resign by the mayor. Yes, Penny, we spoke about that very early on in this broadcast. Sharon Reynolds, will the daughter who gave up all the info go into police custody? Sharon, that's a good question, you know, because she's 16 years old. Could her life be in danger? Her life very well could be turned upside down. Might she need to be put in witness protection? Good question. I don't know the answer to that right now, but absolutely a very good question. Moose Girl 08, their sovereign citizen thing goes out the window once they have lawyers. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Miss Girl, judge without good judgment. Yeah, absolutely. Donut Love, love you and your caring heart so much, Bill. You are a no-hold-back kind of lawman with a loving heart, and that's what we need in this world. Donut Love, thank you so much. That's very heartwarming to me, very much so. You know, sometimes doing this, I love doing this show, and I love doing true crime, but sometimes it can be thankless, you know, like being a cop. Same kind of job, maybe. Well, that's why I'm attracted to this too. But I want to... Stephanie, blah-de-de-blah, the 16-year-old is a victim too. Absolutely, absolutely. There's lots of victims in this case. It's a horrific case. And, you know, today is just the court process just started today. Let's put it that way, all right? Their arraignment and the assignment of attorneys and all of that stuff. And someone asked... when will this case go to trial? This could take years. It could literally take years for this case to go to trial. So, folks, I want to thank everyone for tuning in today, in this afternoon. 2 o'clock we went on the air, right? And I know it's not always the most convenient time for everybody, but I want to thank you. My name is Bill Cannon, retired NYPD sergeant, 9/11 first responder, former professor of criminal justice. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Have a great day, and God bless everyone. One episode, just ain't enough.